These involved a variety of different drugs, most commonly cancer drugs, also antibiotics, but primarily drugs that were generic, and among those, primarily those that were injectable. They're important drugs in many cases. In fact, FDA focuses on those that we call medically necessary, the most important ones. And the lack of such a drug may be very important to a patient. It might mean that cancer therapy is deferred. It might mean that you have to settle for a second-line choice for a drug. It really is something the agency takes very seriously and something that we try to avert. In fact, the agency has been able to prevent 137 drug shortages just in the last 2 years.
So what is it the FDA can do about this? What does this order do?
Well, what the FDA can do, first of all, is work constructively, creatively with the manufacturers to try and manage the problem. So assuming that we hear early enough that there is, in fact, going to be a shortage, we have a number of means at our disposal. We can, in rare cases, import a drug. That's not often a good choice because the logistical obstacles to doing that are significant. But more commonly, we'll turn to another company and ask them to ramp up production to compensate. If there's a need to reinspect a company, although usually there isn't, we'll quickly do that. If there's a need to review particular documents that will prove to us that the drug can now be safely manufactured, then we'll speed that up. So there are a number of areas in which we can show creativity. Here's an example. Certain of the problems that have caused drug shortages have included pieces of metal or pieces of glass that have been detected in a vial of this injectable medication. And we've actually allowed those kinds of injectable medications to be shipped, even though typically we wouldn't. In the setting of a drug shortage, we've allowed them to be shipped as long as they're also shipped with some kind of a filter and an instruction to the user of how to use the filter to filter out the glass or the metal. So we use all kinds of creativity. We have a staff that is dedicated to do this, and that's what we do. Now, your other question related to the executive order. And really, the executive order asks us to do more of that expediting, more of that creativity, more of that working with manufacturers. The other thing that the executive order asks us to do relates to this idea of learning about the drug shortage as soon as possible. And so we have written a letter to all manufacturers in this country reminding them that under current law, assuming they make particular drugs of greatest interest, that they are actually required to notify us 6 months ahead of time, if they can, about an impending discontinuation of production, which might lead to a shortage. So we've written to them to remind them of their legal responsibilities and to ask them to actually go beyond that. Even if the drug does not fall in this category of the most important drugs, to still notify us, because we'd rather hear ahead of time. The sooner we hear, the sooner we can act. The third part of the executive order relates to the problem when a drug shortage occurs, a certain minority of wholesalers appear to be holding on to drug and then jacking up the price and charging really exorbitant fees for funds. And so the third part of the executive order relates to this hoarding and price gouging activity and might involve the Department of Justice in investigating that kind of activity.
We're speaking with Peter Lurie, Senior Advisor to the Office of the Commissioner at the Food and Drug Administration. And on that last point, pricing, is there any evidence or have you considered the fact that maybe interference in the drug market in the first place by trying to control prices, at least in some cases, may lead to the shortages?
Our impression is that the hoarding and price gouging activities that we have detected are a result of shortages, not a cause of shortages. So we don't think that anybody is holding on to this in order to drive up prices. Our impression is that the wholesalers that are driving up the prices are people who are exploiting an existing drug shortage. They probably don't have very large amounts of drug, but they've got enough that a hospital desperate to administer, say, some needed cancer drug to a patient might be willing to fork up the money. Our analysis shows the number of generic manufacturers making these particular kinds of products is often very low. And so when one product gets into trouble, there may not be many other manufacturers to whom the agency can turn to make up the difference.
This is an executive order. It is not legislation. Does that limit its impact and its scope?
Well, hand in hand with the executive order is a decision by the administration to endorse legislation that is pending in the Congress that would accomplish many of the same things, but with the actual force of law. So in particular, the bill would expand reporting to all drugs, not simply those that are most critical from a public health point of view. And in addition, it would provide us with an authority we don't currently have, which is to fine those companies that don't comply. And we think that that getting that legislation passed would be an enormous help to us in actually preventing shortages. But in the interim, until such time as the Congress acts, the executive order will be an important interim measure.
Now, the FDA has had a lot of new duties kind of come its way in the last few years, overseas inspection, for example. There's a new headquarters, and they've been trying to get some more information technology. But the money from Congress has been a little bit stingier than the expansion in duties. Do you have the resources to take this on?
We are going to take this on because we understand this to be an important problem. And in fact, among our activities announced on Monday was an undertaking to more than double the size of our drug shortage program staff and to add additional staff in other parts of the agency that provide kind of supportive roles for the drug shortage program itself. So we're going to find the money, even if we have to find it within our own budget at FDA, but the issue is important enough for us to expand our activities in this area because the number of shortages themselves has been expanding.
So it sounds to me like the executive order is just the start, and what it is you are hoping for is the legislation to make it through. Otherwise, you're really dependent upon the activity of the private sector to be able to get this information to you so you can get out in front on it.
Well, that is true, and we're also dependent upon the private sector to produce the drugs in a way that's consistent with current regulations. And so we are working with the companies to help them to do that. There is only a limited amount that the agency is able to do. The price hoarding and gouging activities are really beyond what the FDA does. We don't have the power to force anybody to manufacture. We don't have the power to manufacture ourselves. So you're absolutely right. It does depend upon, a good relationship with industry. And in general, assuming that notifications take place, we find that that is the case, that the companies are willing to work with us in order to avert the problem. After all, you know, it's a problem for them, too, when they go into shortage. It becomes public knowledge that the company is not producing it or has run into some kind of production problem. They're interested in getting things in shape. And what we're hoping is that in the next several years, the companies will bring on new production lines for these sterile injectables in particular, and that over the long term that the situation will start to improve.